I'm on slide. Woohoo! So I'm going to get you all to stand because most of you have been sitting right now, and I need you all to just give a big stretch and turn and say, wow. And when you're done, just take a seat. This will be the fastest sermon I ever preach. Well, fast for me is 35 minutes instead of 40, right? Don't interrupt me. You're dragging this out. Why the season? So we're in the week three of
the beginning of wisdom.
Why the season is great for what we just did as well. Why the season? The first week we talked about why then. Why did God choose to come when he came? Why there? Why did he choose to come to Bethlehem when he did? And then why them? Why them is what we're dealing with this morning. Why
the offspring
Mary and Joseph?
Of the born again
why them? Of all the people that God could have chosen to have as parents,
the resurrection
he chose these two.
Dwelling within me.
He chose these two.
Therefore yet shall I live.
God has done many crazy things as we come together in this formal time. My wife did a crazy thing once.
Tatiawa and allowing us to pitch our tent here.
I don't know why someone thinks jumping out a fully functioning plane at 10,000 feet in the air is fun.
We acknowledge the end of a calling.
You see the earth rushing at you at full speed, knowing that a body that impacts the earth at that kind of speed does not survive very well.
Decommissioning.
But she did. Who's done a crazy thing in their life?
Is never decommissioned.
I'm not looking at Wayne.
We are always working for the Lord.
I can't pick on Grant this morning. He's not here.
And every one of us.
We've all done crazy
seasons.
God himself has done many
seasons
crazy
in which
things.
We are called to specific work.
Sermon series.
And for this,
all the
there
crazy
is always
things
a beginning.
The
and cool. There is
Let
always
me tell you a story a couple of years ago. All the crazy
we,
things
as
that
our
happened.
Church community here at
but
Hudson
there is
Baptist
nothing
Church,
crazier
honor
than Christmas.
The beginning
there
of
is
a specific
crazier
with a pulpit.
Than God coming down,
which we welcome
and becoming a baby,
the new pastor.
Think about
into
that
our
for a moment.
Home.
Think about a baby.
And normally
it is the most useless,
we
defenseless
honor
thing
the ending
on
of a call.
It can't do anything, right? It can't look after itself.
Due to the circumstances
it can't
today,
talk. It can't explain. It's
we
got issues.
We cannot fulfill the full requirements.
If you leave it on its own, it's going to die.
It
is
our
fully
color.
And completely dependent
and I apologize to our Kotahitanga team that we're unable
and
to
God
fill
chose
the honors of
to
that.
Come as a baby. The Greek gods came
Rachel
as fully Renta functioning
and Ali Miles
strong people
served our community as youth pastors for over
baby.
2 years. They're calling as pastors
in
our church.
In action. How much
has
trust
come to an end.
Does God have to
and
give
we
up?
We take time out in our service
to come to earth in that kind of a way
to honor them.
Last week I told you we're going
to
be sticking to
like
these one verse,
Ali
this one verse,
Rachel
or this one
to come
passage.
Here onto the stage.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman Empire, and everyone went to their own town. So Joseph, with his woman to be, his wife to be, left the town of Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, where he was from. They were pledged to be married and they were expecting a child, and while they were there the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room.
I would like to call up Bronwyn Pode to come and stand beside me
as initially just to these verses here as they make their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and just these two people, Joseph and Mary, pledged to be married. They're not even married. Pledged to be married, she's pregnant.
I would now
there
also like
so
to ask
much.
Anyone who would like to come and stand beside
so much that,
Rachel
that
and
we
Ali
just skip over when it comes to Christmas because for the most part tradition has sterilized the whole story. And all the little nuances, the incredibleness of the story is lost. It's interesting, Luke tells one story. Luke being writing a gospel for the Gentiles, for those who weren't Jewish. Matthew, who was Jewish, wrote the same story but differently. And there's reasons for this. Because the non-Jewish people wouldn't understand a lot of the Jewish nuances. I'm going to share some of that with you this morning. Here's a lovely picture of the Nativity from an Orthodox point of view. And Joseph looks like Plato or something. Doesn't he? I mean,
when I started youth group, I didn't know you that well.
Good old Orthodox. This is a medieval scenery of the Nativity. Obviously just a little biased there, right?
And I'm so glad I got to know you.
This is a more modernist Protestant worldview with Joseph with long blonde hair.
Looks
like a great Swedish man there.
Like
really not from the Middle East, but hey. And this is the Italian version.
We asked to like share some things that we appreciated about you.
Oh, Joseph looks like the godfather, doesn't he?
Like dropped down and it just like all the way down the street.
This is my boy.
I narrowed it down to three.
This is Guido Reni. He wrote in the 17th century.
With
all these pictures of the Nativity are so wide of the mark. So wide of who these people were and what they endured and how much trust God put into these two people.
And then you'll come back. And the last thing is that you're always...
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Today, we don't think much of this kind of a statement. But back then, this was explosive stuff. What? You're not married?
Good luck on your new journey, and we'll really miss you.
She's pregnant? Dude, this is a religious society here. What's going on? You're carrying an illegitimate son. By the law, both of you should be stoned.
We'll now share.
Like to death, not
to Ali.
Sorry. You end up having these thoughts in your head. You're like, what did I just say? So here are the I thought I'd break down what does marriage look like for the ancient Jews, because it is kind of different, but it's also kind of similar to what we do today. The marriage customs of the ancient Jews in those days in particular were this. It was broken into two parts. The first part was what they called a betrothal, right? This is when they actually got together and worked it out. The first thing was choosing. The parents would choose the partners. They would get together. You know, I'd sit down and talk with Greg, and Greg's got a boy, I've got a girl, my youngest is not here, the poor thing. And we're going to talk about how we're going to arrange for these two to get married. Because, you know, I like his boy, he likes my daughter, I think this is a good match, right? And that's the choosing, that's how it comes about. This usually occurs within their last year of school, what was called Beth Sefer.
They're going to miss
this was kind of like primary school. They would have been 12 years old at the time. At age 13, they normally graduated from school. School didn't teach mathematics or geography or history. Well, it did history, but it was primarily the first five books of the Bible. They memorized to learn to read and write those first five books of the Bible that we have today. That was all school was. And when they finished, some who were smart enough could graduate and go on. But the majority of the people stopped at that age at 13 and went into the business, the family business, or into a trade.
From where you are.
At 12 years old, they would get, the parents would sort out who they were going to marry. Then there was what they called the arrangement. And this was a legal document. A legal document that was written up between the two families to say, this is what we do, and this is what we're going to give up, this is what I'm going to give to you, this is what you're going to give to me. It was an arrangement. You see parts of this with Jacob, who tries to work out with his future father-in-law, Laban, about working out how to make this arrangement to get Rachel, who he wants to marry. And there's all this toing and froing. Well, this is what's basically it about. It's an arrangement. The moment the arrangement is made, legally speaking, they are married. In fact, they refer to each other as husband and wife. And to break up an arrangement requires a divorce.
Here or here?
Because once it's written up,
so I'll stand here.
Legally, this is happening.
I think I had the
and if they were to split
our,
before they got married, they would have to divorce.
Rachel,
Luke doesn't speak much about this, right?
When I say first,
because Luke's
Rachel,
not getting into these details, but if you read Matthew, he does.
We were at
Matthew starts
Carpety
to
College
expound
Malay,
a little bit on this, because the Jews understand what Matthew's talking about.
And Rachel,
the next part is then the wedding. The wedding begins with the ceremony or the procession, which is the family, the groom and all his party. They go all the way over to the bride's house. They come and collect the bride and all her family, and then they all bring them back to the the groom's house.
And
they have
tried
this huge feast.
Back to church
and in this
Sunday
feast,
morning,
which could last for days,
dishes to do.
Right? Sometimes
and,
even as long as a
said,
week.
Oh, you need to go, you need
they
to
would
go.
Feast
go,
together, no, the people around them would cast their blessings upon the couple.
Turned to him and said,
and then formally the arrangement
was
read out publicly.
I'm going to finish the job.
To all the witnesses of what was entailed within this marriage.
So
then he thought Gloria Vale invented this, but no. While they were partying, the young couple would then go and consummate the marriage in their nuptial room.
And then what some people didn't know was...
Now, this is an important part of Jewish culture. Deuteronomy 22 talks a lot about what happens at this point. Once they consummate the marriage, the son or the groom would bring out a cloth, the bloodstained cloth, that would hand...
I don't know what happens for you fellas after this.
The guy who would then arrange the marriage to say that she was legally a virgin.
Some of us never let go.
That there was no issue there.
You know,
so that no one could then counter it that she wasn't when they got married.
Lydia Howard,
this all happened
we know where she
during
came okay,
this
and,
time period.
And we know where Andy
Bennett kind of
came
isn't it?
From. And at least, and the thing
weird.
Is, guys,
but that's the way they did it back then.
Where we're from.
Deuteronomy 22 goes into a lot of detail about how to do this.
We don't need go. It might be a stop, but it's not.
And then later, after all the partying and all that, they are established as a couple. Now, for the most part, some would go and live in their own house, but for the majority of the times, these people would live all together in a commune place, because that's the way society was back then. Very different to us today. Kind of weird to have a couple get married and go live with their parents.
Or what you smelt like.
But some of us do that. The majority of us don't. Back then, actually, the majority did.
But Ali, you know,
and they supported one another through this.
And it's just the change.
In Matthew chapter 1, just to give you a quick idea of what Matthew says about this. He said, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. They were in that arrangement stage. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. So even though he wasn't married, he was still required to divorce her. That means he had to cancel this arrangement. And for a woman, even though public disgrace would have meant being stoned to death, he didn't want that to happen to her.
Now may the Lord of peace himself...
Now think about this. This is a 12 to 13-year-old boy.
And we look forward to seeing what you're doing.
Now, people have told me, oh, but they were mature back then. I don't know. Have you read Proverbs? Have you read Solomon's complaints towards the young people of his age? It sounds very similar to us today. 12 to 13-year-old boy feels what she's going through, doesn't want her to be stoned to death. Because in Deuteronomy 22, it says this, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married and sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. Ouch.
Just wanted to come and say,
but he chooses not to. He wants to do it quietly. He still needs a witness. So some of this would get out.
You both are encouragers.
She would be disgraced because she's divorced and would not be able to find another husband again.
And you both are very strong women.
But at least he's trying to stop her from being killed.
And thank you.
Talk about the maturity
of
a young man.
That you will step out.
We talked about how much trust is involved in all of this. How much God had to give up to come down to earth to be a baby. He had to be a baby which can't talk, which can't be fed, can't even control his own bladder. His parents are 13-year-old nobodies.
Both mightily.
And I'll get into about that a little
and
bit
I
more.
Admire you
the greatest
on the stage
plan in history,
worship.
In all of humanity,
your voices
is Christmas.
Are like beautiful.
And if you and I were planning this, would we take this plan?
Has gifted you with.
And would we say, yes, this sounds great, Lord. Woohoo!
In the hearts of those who wanted to worship God,
we'd have a whole list. You. Of expectations, a whole list of what needs to be right. Because this is the Son of God. We've got to put him in a good home. We've got to make sure he's well protected growing up, that their parents are responsible, smart, healthy people. All of this.
I finished with a song.
And God does almost the complete opposite to what logic tells us to do. And when I say they're nobodies,
Let me show you how much of a nobody these two are. They went from the town of Nazareth. Remember this. Joseph is from Bethlehem. That's where his family of origin is. Most males stay with their families as they go. It's the women that usually leave the families to join the paternal line. But Joseph is actually in Nazareth. And together, they traveled down to Bethlehem. They wouldn't have crossed Samaria. They would have gone across the Jordan because there is a richer valley there with water and stuff. And they wouldn't have to worry about the Samaritans in general. And they made their way to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem, which is where he would have signed up to go to the census. Now, Mary was from Nazareth. Joseph was from Bethlehem. Yet he was living in Nazareth. That gives you a little indication. We don't know why, we don't know how. But he is not living in his ancestral home. Nathanael, later on, when Jesus chooses the apostles, Nathanael makes this comment. He says, does anything good come out of Nazareth? Joseph has left his family and he is living in Nazareth. That gives you an indication that there is something not right. Why is he there and why is she not in Bethlehem? Why are they not living with his family?
Shared with you a little time alongside you in youth group.
They're traveling to Bethlehem to do the census since Caesar Augustus put out. They're going there
into either yours or Grace's
because that is Joseph's home. The inn that we all hear about, that we know about. There's no room at the inn. The inn is a wrong word for it.
To this,
it's not a budget motel that you're looking for space in, right?
Amazing enthusiasm.
These places were actually where people would go to their ancestral homes. There would be a relative that would have a house, and all the family would congregate in that one house, and they'd all be there together, because that's what family did back then. What they called the inn in those days was, this is the place where we go together and hang when there's a big family feast, like Passover, or like any one of the other seven feasts that happen. But in this case, he's going back to there. It's not the same inn as the Good Samaritan who took the poor guy who was robbed and set him up with a room and all of that. This is not the same inn. He's going to family.
Good things.
He's going to stay with relatives in the communal home.
To read something from Timothy.
And it would have looked like this.
And this is from 2 Timothy 3. But as for you,
the home would have looked something like this.
And have become convinced of.
And because of whoever Joseph was,
from who you have learned it.
And they didn't think very highly of him.
You have known the Holy Scriptures.
That they wouldn't give him
room. Able to make you wise for salvation
in the upstairs
through
rooms.
Christ and through faith.
He arrives with his
Christ.
Pregnant wife-to-be.
All Scripture is God-breathed.
Illegitimate.
And is useful for teaching, rebuking,
and they don't really care for him being in the house.
Righteousness.
So you see this little alcove down the bottom here. This is where they left their animals.
Every good work. Bless you guys.
They tie them up down there and they know all went upstairs.
Forward to
if you want a picture of this, Jesus in the upper room.
In the future and the way that you are going
to see the upper room, right?
Many people. Blessings.
A scene very like this would have been very typical of a Bethlehem street.
I'm Rachel's mum. I'd just like to say a big thank you to everyone here for welcoming my girl into your
Joseph.
Church.
And Mary weren't just 13-year-old.
When Matt came to take my daughter away,
but from they our weren't church. Very much liked by his family.
Sad for
something
me.
Something is obviously not
but
right.
But yet, as a mum,
that they don't care for
go.
A young couple
and,
expecting a child.
I really
they don't care
do
for him,
want to
for
extend
her.
My gratitude to you all for welcoming
we're not just talking about
nobody's
church.
Here. She's kind
and then
of
Joseph,
from one to another,
later on, chooses to live
grow and
with her family.
And contribute here.
And Jesus is raised
really
with her family. When they go
and,
to Jerusalem, when Jesus is a young boy, he is with his mother's family, not his father's. And in a patriarchal society, so that flips everything up on its head, doesn't it? Now I ask, outcasts. And Jesus chose them. Not loved by their families, and Jesus chose them.
Yeah, so Courtney
13-year-old,
me Jesus
chose like, them.
Do you want to say something? And I knew if I opened
the biggest,
or seen it,
greatest
then
plan
I had to say something. So I didn't open it. I read it, but I didn't open
Luke
it, so she didn't know that I seen it.
That a census should be taken of the entire
you know,
London
I was
Lord
like, got here, and I was like,
that, this
oh,
guy.
No. Maybe I should say something.
Caesar Augustus was proclaimed
I want to.
Emperor
but
in
yeah,
the Latin
but
words
all,
to his name.
Say,
his title is Emperor Caesar Diphilius Augustus, which
like
in
this.
English means the Emperor Caesar, the majestic son of God. He was son of Caesar. Caesar was deified. He was named son of God. And a few years earlier than that, the great Roman poet Virgil wrote this
and
prophecy.
How amazing he is.
He said this,
and how far
one is to come. There is one who is to come. And the Son of God, he will be named. He will be the Son of God incarnate, come down to us. And the Romans cheered when Augustus became emperor because here we have the incarnate Son of God amongst us. And yet,
yeah, so
in this small little insignificant town, in the middle of the shadows of kings and emperors of Jerusalem and of Herod and in this little
been through a lot together, but
alcove.
And so I just wanted to do my
set aside, shunned.
Thank you.
Jesus chose the true Son of God chose to come.
Yeah, Gussie, well come.
And as if there's anything this
together,
Christmas season should be bringing us is hope. Hope.
Also say, I just
that
also
even
thank
amongst
you,
all the craziness
done,
that
done
this world throws at us, all the craziness
family,
of these political situations going on around us, whether we'll suffer for economic reasons or whether there's wars and who thinks they're
crying,
bigger than the other, we know our God came to this earth
done a lot
in
and
the midst of all of that.
We had a lot of funny moments.
And he
if you see us
hope.
Dancing on worship on stage together,
and if you don't feel
which is not
you're
gonna
good
be
enough,
the end of it,
if you
we're
feel
come back,
you are too
it's
broken,
be a lot better.
If you feel overwhelmed, sad,
But yo, you've done a lot for me and my family,
felt.
And we just want to say thank you.
The moment
that
the
we
woman
appreciate you, and we're
he
so
was going
excited.
To marry
well, I don't look great. Excited, but I am excited
I can imagine
to see you
family
and where you're going to go, and where God's going to take you,
because
it's going to be pretty mean.
What.
It's going to be pretty gangster. And then you're going to come back and you're going to teach
and
me.
Yet, the angel
teach me what you learned.
And entrusts him with the greatest plan.
What about you, Gussie?
In all of history. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't do too bad, did I?
So when I first started coming to this church.
10 minutes, 15 minutes?
I think 2012.
It's a record for me. May the Lord bless you. We've still got one more week in this series.
Actually, I
the
turned
Lord
up
bless
and I was
you
the
and
guy
will
at the
keep
back.
You and
yeah,
hold
just
you.
To sit by myself.
And just
and
remember the
two
hope
people,
that we have in Jesus Christ.
They used to always come and try and get me involved.
Doesn't matter
and
what's going on in the world today.
And
Christ came.
Like I always say, like I'm real
Amen.
Grateful to God because it's
God
like
bless you this
like
week.
That,
Amen.
That really pulls you in, like to like I guess, like our family, and like ever since then, like I've known, oh, this is where God wants me to be, and there's like I believe that God has a purpose, and like saying that, like I think, like even though you guys are going into another season, like it's all like part of the journey, and I just want to say thank you, for just letting me be a part of that journey, for doing your part, but for you guys, nah, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, thank you.
It's been an absolute privilege to work with you guys a little bit over the last couple of years, and it's been neat to get to know you guys. Just one little thing that is really important at this particular point in time is a word that I've got for you, Rachel, particularly, but it is also for you both, and it is a saying in Japanese, which is ichigo, ichi-a. And it's talking about these times that it's really hard to move on. It's really hard to move on and to say goodbye. But these times stay with us always. They, the people that are in our lives at this particular point in time are here for a reason. And it is time to move on. Those people will be with you as you go forward on your journey, both of you together. But you can never come back to it. It's about moving on now. And seizing what is the next step on your journeys, knowing that that stuff's there and it's part of who you are. Hold that in your heart. Ngā mihi nui ki a kōrua, ngā mihi mahana ki a kōrua.
Okay, thank you so much to all of you who were able to come up and speak to these two wonderful women, and I know that there's many of you that may want to speak to them afterwards. Oh my gosh, it's my privilege to speak to you on behalf of our eldership team. It's also my sadness. First and foremost, thank you. And that doesn't even go anywhere near close enough to the gratitude, the deep gratitude that we have for the work that you have done. But it's not just about the work, it's about who you are. You too are very special women who have the call of God on your heart. And we want to really acknowledge that the things that you have brought have not been about the title. It's actually been about the heart that you have for God and what God has placed on your heart. And you've worked that out in youth ministry, and you've also worked that out in worship, as Trish talked about before. One of the things that I think that really stands out for me is, for you, it's about whānau. So when you talk about our kids, you talk about their families. You talk about what's important to them. And you talk about how you're going to wrap yourselves around them. And I know that at times that's been a huge personal cost. There is a lot of what the two of you do that no one sees. And that's one of the things that makes it so special. It's been a really big year for you all, and it's been a big year for the two of you. And that's not easy, and we've really watched you both navigate your way through the decisions that you've both had to make with grace and with courage, and want to really acknowledge that with you this morning. We acknowledge your families who have surrounded you both as you have engaged in this with us, and because we don't stand alone, none of us stand alone, and we lean on God absolutely, but it's also about the people that he places around us. So huge acknowledgement to both your families. As I thought about what I was going to say to you, some verses came to mind, and this is going to be interesting because I need to get my glasses on, and because I can't see, because boy do they put Bibles in small print. So much to say. I thought about new beginnings, and I thought about what it's like to go on to a new place and look at the new things that God has for you. So Ecclesiastes 3 talks about a time for every purpose, and I just want to remind you that he has made everything beautiful in its time. Whatever we face, it is beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so you may not know what it is that God is taking you to, but he does. Trust in him, because everything will be beautiful in its time. Isaiah 40:31 says this, and so as you do that, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. And then in Jeremiah 29 verses 11 and 12, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And that is his absolute promise for both of you, that he will be with you, he will listen to you. And again, on behalf of our eldership team, on behalf of our church family, thank you for the ministry that you have engaged in. This is not the end. We are very excited to see where God takes you, in as much as it's sad for us to see you go. And our absolute blessing goes with you.
is a time for both of you if you wish to respond. Don't have to.
Hello, there I am. Yeah, I don't really know how to respond to that amount of love, but thank you. Yeah, don't really have any words, but thank you. I would like to thank a few people. The young people that are here this morning and that aren't. Lots that aren't here this morning, but many that are. Thank you for allowing the four of us to lead you. Thank you for graciously sharing your lives with us and being vulnerable, being honest with us. That's a real gift, and we are really grateful that you let us journey with you in that way. Thank you for bearing with us when we've made mistakes and forgiving us. But thank you for choosing to be part of this community and allowing us to lead you. We really love you lots. And we'll continue to love you. The youth leaders that are here and those that aren't, thank you for being friends. There's many on the stage. Thank you for, again, forgiving us when we made mistakes. There were a few, and we're just really grateful that you continue to love us and turn up and remain. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do that is unnoticed. And everything that you will continue to do. We hope that you will be blessed mightily for it. To the elders and the staff and Rob, thank you for choosing to listen to God's call and trying something new with the four of us. Was different and hadn't really been tried before, and was probably a risky move in some ways, but we're really grateful that you listened to God's call and allowed us to work in this ministry, and we do believe that God honoured that, so thank you. Thank you, Rob, for being our protector and fiercely loyal. Just want to where's Steve? Okay, I'll there you are. Just wanted to acknowledge my parents. Sorry, trying to get there. Bari and Steve, if you don't know them, they're some of the most godly people that I know. Thank you for teaching me about how to dwell in God's love. And how to face trials with faith. And how to be a person of integrity. I've learned all of those things because I've seen your example. So thank you. Thank you for choosing to plant yourself in this church and then remain here. And I know and I see the fruit of that choice for Grace and myself, and that it will continue to bear fruit. And thank you for choosing to plant yourselves either side of me this year and grow tall and have your branches intertwine over the top of me and protect me. Yeah, no words. Thank you. And to Zach and Courtney and Rachel, thank you for being the kind of colleagues that allowed me to cry all the time. Still will allow me to cry and notice when I need a hug and when I need to laugh. Thank you for believing in me. I will miss working with you, but know that you will continue to be on the journey. Thank you for being wise and loving and strong but gentle and discerning and fierce. And I'm excited to see what's next for all three of you. And I have no doubt that this youth ministry will continue to be led in God's will as it goes forward. Yes.
First of all, I want to acknowledge God, because everyone that was close will know that we couldn't have done any of it without his leading, his wisdom, his word, his revelation, and his miraculous moves in times that we didn't know what was going to happen. God pulled us through and showed us more of his magnificence, and we're so grateful for that. And I want to thank Matt. Thank you. You set this foundation for us, and you kind of went in there and you said, I know that God wants to do a four, and you kind of paved the way for us, and you set this foundation of an amazing leadership team and a church that kind of wasn't sure what was going on but stuck in there and just had faith. And thank you all for trusting us with your kids. We've done some really crazy, weird things and had some odd conversations, but if it weren't for your faith in us, then we wouldn't have a ministry. So thank you. And thank you to the elders and to Rob. You also stuck in there with us. We had some passionate conversations, and we had some big questions that we didn't know how to answer, and we always had this group that we could come back to and just talk it out and pray it out and figure out what was going on. Thank you to our leadership team. You covered up for a lot of our muck-ups. You laughed with us, you cried with us, and prayed with us. We saw some incredible things together, and you worked so hard, and you put in so much more than is expected from any volunteer ever. And it's just because your passion for what God wants to do with our young people. To my girls, my small group girls, I think you're all up here, aren't you? I love you really a lot.
Oh my gosh.
And like Eddie said, I don't ever leave before the job's done. And I'm so gutted that I can't watch you graduate. Well, I might be able to, but I can't walk through that with you. And I just want you to... I want you to continue pursuing God. I want you to find out who he's made you to be and embrace that. I don't want you to copy anybody else. I want you to figure out what God's saying to you, because he's made you all so amazing and beautiful and unique and powerful. And I hope that you all discover that for yourselves. Be nice to each other and look after each other. Look after Shannon and whoever your next leader is. But I love you all so much. Thank you for being crazy and climbing up the walls and just being yourselves. I love you all for who you are. And to my other girls, only one is here, but, oh no, there's more than one here, sorry. But to you, I met you before I met my small group girls, and I was awkward and scared, and I didn't even know what a Baptist was, and here I was just kind of getting to know you, and you were very gracious with me as I figured out what God wanted to do. But we laughed and we learned and we cried, and I'm super proud of you. You're all kind of in this space now where you're figuring out that God wants to do things through you, and it's so exciting. And this isn't the end, so I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just going away for a little bit. And I'm so excited to come back and find out what God's been doing through all of you and track you on Facebook, so please update your statuses. Your girl's not on Instagram. But I love you all, and I'm so proud of you. And I don't want that to sound patronizing, but I'm just so proud of you all. There was another one. I don't remember. I'm really sorry. I have the worst memory of all of us, and I'm sorry. But to the four, the three, the other three, I love you guys so much. Thank you for telling me off when I didn't think I was good enough. Thank you for praying with me. Thank you for hugging me when I didn't think I wanted it, but I really needed it. Thank you for pushing me, for forgiving me when I messed up all the time. But thank you for laughing. Thank you for allowing me to be sarcastic, possibly a little bit inappropriate sometimes. But thank you for just teaching me about who you know God to be, because I only know him from my view. And now I've got a wider perspective because of you. I love you all so much. You're some of the strongest people I've ever met. We've been through a lot in 2 years. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's only been just over 2 years. What the heck? But I love you all so much. And I really believe in you. And I'm so excited to see what God does through you. But to our church whānau, thank you so much. I haven't even met all of you yet. That's insane. Our church family's so big and I haven't even met all of you. But you've embraced us and you have affirmed us. And you stand here and you sit here and you listen to us talk and talk and talk because of your love. And I've had some really beautiful conversations with some of you and I've made some beautiful connections and I look forward to continuing that because, like I said, this isn't the end. Not by a long shot. So thank you all for listening to us and letting us lead and praying for us. Thank you. Thank you for supporting our young people. They're beautiful humans and God's doing some huge things through them. And thank you to my mum and my extended family. I love you all so much. Thank you for kicking me up the butt when I need it, for telling me to have a good attitude for where God's calling me, and for pushing me and believing in me and always standing by me. I love you all so much. I've talked heaps, and I'm a little bit sorry, but not that much. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to ask Ali and Rachel to come forward. Not sure why my sermon slides are up there. I'm about to feel like I need to break out preaching right now, but I won't. You've obeyed the call of the Lord to serve this community as youth pastors. You've served diligently, selflessly, in the fear of the Lord. We acknowledge your work. We acknowledge your sacrifice. You are now released from your duties. You are now released from your call as youth pastors in this place. And on behalf of Hutt City Baptist Church, I wish to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Italian, so I'm touchy-feely, and I just need to anoint you both in the name of our Father, our Lord, our God. May the Lord bless you as you continue to do the Lord's work, wherever it may lead you, wherever he may take you, be it here, be it to the end of this earth. Ali, the word I have for you this morning is strength. And Rach, the word I have for you this morning is courage. May you be led by the Spirit of our Lord, our God, our Savior. The Lord bless you. In his name we pray and we give thanks. The great name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody here said, Amen. Amen.